I have negotiated my butt off, Giorgio. I've tried bribes, I've tried gifts. They love that crap in Malaysia, but he won't budge.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Offline Podcast, a celebration of analog life. This episode is presented by OfflineBalance.com. I'm your host, Blake. Joining me is my good friend and funniest man in the room, Josh Ryan. Today on the show, I forgot my iPhone, the fallacy of work-life blend, listener mailbag, and an update on the book. Josh, welcome to the show. Before we get started, I wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping. You feel me?
Please do. This place is a mess.
Okay, so here's what you kind listener can expect from this here podcast. First, who should listen? If you're feeling burnout, overwhelmed, or stuck in a perpetual rut of screen refreshes, new message checks, phone obsession, narcissistic status updates, or if you just want ideas on enjoying offline and face-to-face experiences more, this may be the podcast for you, Josh.
Yeah. Sounds good. I like it.
Numero dos. It'll be weekly, so long as there is a following for it. Third, it'll be fast, no more than 20 to 30 minutes on average. So that's what we'll shoot for. And then, Josh, every show is going to be kind of casual Friday, if you will. That's a new term I coined, casual Friday.
I like that. I think that's going to catch on.
Yeah, I think so, too. So by that, I mean we'll embrace informalities while, sparing the listeners the oh-so-boring small talk of how was your weekend, weather banter, and or 3-minute recap of one of our latest bouts with nasopharyngitis, a.k.a. the common cold. So
it's good. I like it.
Okay, so Josh, we'll start with that out of the way. We'll start with, our first talking point. This week, Josh, as you probably saw, a couple weeks ago, there was a video entitled "I Forgot My Phone," and it hit over 20 million YouTube views this week. Mm-hmm. For any listeners who haven't seen it, you can just YouTube it or Google it, and basically it depicts a girl, interacting with her relationships, if you will, and there's just smartphones everywhere, and she just can't escape the smartphone.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good video, and it actually touched on a couple of important topics. One not to overlook, though, is I think it's pretty obvious that they just don't like her.
My buddy David said, "Man, she hangs out with some complete jerks."
Yeah, and we don't know the full story, obviously, but
wasn't staged in any regard either, right? I mean,
here comes Charlene. Don't tell her we're going bowling tonight. No, but it actually does touch on some stuff, which is quite frightening when you look at where this generation is in terms of social skills. Mm-hmm. And it, I know I've been guilty of it. I'm sure most of us have to some degree, but it just really, really touched on this mouth breathing, head down, we're all glued to the devices plague that has sort of hampered us recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think it did a good job doing that. One thing that kind of took me, or just struck me, is I'd never really noticed it before. There's a scene where, she's at a lot of concerts or whatever.
Right.
And everyone has their freaking phone up. So there's not only are we head down now when we're meeting face-to-face with friends and family at the dinner table, wherever you are, mm-hmm. we're just recording and capturing everything rather than experiencing it.
Yeah, rather than living the moment. And I actually saw that a couple of weeks ago. I went to the Killers concert. And I will say I did snag a couple of pictures on my phone just for memory's sake. But there were people that were around us that were not even enjoying the concert at all, but just looking through the entire thing on their phone as they filmed it.
Well yeah, there's proof of that. You can search any concert you want on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to see like an hour of amateur video on some crappy cell phone. And it's like, I'm going to watch this for an hour. I won't watch this for five seconds. The quality's so bad.
But exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, Josh, obviously, this video strikes a nerve. 20 million views in 2 weeks. People are obviously sharing this. It's affecting them, obviously. I think everyone knows, this is obviously the elephant room, or if not more than the elephant room now. It's just an obvious reality of living in a highly connected, highly wired smartphone world. But What, Josh, do you think this video, is it going to have any kind of impact? Does it teach us anything? Or are there literally people watching this and then coming away say, you know what, I need to change my behavior?
I mean, I would doubt it. I mean, I think...
it's cute, I mean, right? It's like a cute video that just kind
of... I mean, you know, it's going to take a lot of different messages to really get it across for most people. You know, most people probably shared it on their smartphone as it is. But I think some people are more aware of the problem than others. And it was a good video, but it was a mild impact,
yeah. You
know, I think. But I couldn't help but to watch it and think, like, wow, we are really kind of in a bad off place in terms of our social skills with this generation. And when I say, I'm talking about our generation, who we didn't grow up with all the technology. We've adapted to it, right? So these horrible social skills from us are a learned trait. But I think about, like, the next generation, right? Our kids, and God only knows their kids' kids. Like, how will you prevent that type of online, offline, or how do you implement a balance with the further generations?
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's a good point. In terms of, like, you know, Generation Xers, if you will, or even older, just it's kind of learned bad behavior. I mean, my mom and dad can be just as bad. They're baby boomers, and they can be just as bad with their smartphone as anyone.
Right.
And I think that's the thing, is that these little devices are so beautiful and incredible, but can be so detrimental that it affects pretty much all generations. But it's an interesting point in terms of, like, the new generations, that this is just what they're growing up in. And mm-hmm. for me, dude, like, I see a complete opportunity. Like, I'm going to teach my little gippers to not do that, and that's going to give him a leg up in life. Do you know what you know what I'm talking about? Like, if you can train your little ones, or the ones you have influence over, or even those closest to you, it's just going to give you a leg up. Like, if you get nervous talking to people eye to eye, which some of these kids are going to have a problem with.
Exactly.
That's going to be a big hindrance to you in all aspects of your life. Do you know? You have to be able to hold good body language when you're, you know, just talking to someone.
Yeah, and be a little confident and be able to hold a conversation.
Yeah, or just to show that, you know what, I can even endure situations that I'm not really uncomfortable with, but I'm not going to stick my head down and just pull out my phone. That's not going to how I'm going to deal with awkwardness. I'm just going to meet it head on, and I'll endure it, and, you know, I'll be a – I don't know. There's just so much value in just saying, yeah, this is kind of boring here. I could totally, you know, take a quick check at the phone for something I'm more interested in. But there's so much to be said for someone, and if we can teach, you know, upcoming generations that – hey, man, there's value in, you know, uncomfortable situations or awkward situations or boredom. And you need to find where that value is, and you need to find, you know, your balance on, and when is it appropriate to pull out your phone. And we'll get into that discussion. We'll attempt to, I guess, touch on digital etiquette, you know, smartphone etiquette, all the stuff. And of course, it depends on the user, of course. But, you know, that's a topic for another day. But
sure.
I thought it was a good, you know, poignant video. It was more of a good commentary on kind of where we're at, rather than, you know, will it have any type of impact. But it's cool to see it. It's cool to see it being shared around, and you know, at least getting the discussion happening, I guess, more than perhaps it has.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so Josh, next up, since this is our inaugural recording, and maybe the last if there's only one person listening, we want to go to our first, what I call, hit or miss segment, Josh, where you and I, you know, we stand firm on if this idea is a hit or a miss. We each take a side, and we'll kind of pop, you know, we'll kind of jumble that around or discuss that around. So, this week, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Business Insider, one of my favorite kind of life tabloid sites, if you will. It's like all the best of business and tech and blah, all the nerd stuff with some mainstream stuff. There was an article written by Nicole, I think it's Belanger or Belanger. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. But it was on what she titled, Why I Don't Want Work-Life Balance. Basically, if I could summarize real quick, or Josh, did you read the article? Do you want to?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
What was she trying to say?
I think what she was trying to say, or what I gathered from it, was the concept of online offline balance maybe comes in different flavors for some people. And she's saying, I'm not trying to separate mine so much. I've blended them together, I guess, intentionally, and I've found the method that works for me. Here are the pros, here are the cons of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got that too, but I kind of felt like I kind of feel like this is just an argument of semantics. Call it whatever you want, but you got to have freaking balance in your life. I know that's a cliche word. It's been around since the 80s, and right. I get it. You know, come up with a new term, whatever. But it seems like it's the same thing, because she concludes her points saying, now with the work-life blend, you got to be careful, because it can, you know, it can totally, you know, eat into your life or whatever. So I feel like she was saying the exact same thing. It's like whatever you want to call it, whatever kind of relationship or guides or rules you're setting for yourself, the whole point is that society, largely since the 80s when workaholics really started to come into play. That literally is the decade when I think and you can see that's the decade when kind of the office really was more empowered with what sounds like lame technology, but fax machines. Do you know what I'm talking about? And like, that's when it started, and email didn't really quite come into play in the 80s, but you had fax machines, you had offices. For whatever reason, that culture of the 80s and all the money and the size of the economy that came with it, I think really was a good incentive for a lot of people, specifically, you know, compulsive people or passionate people, to become workaholics. And so that's where the whole term work-life balance, you know, comes from. But I think we're still at that point.
Yeah, I would agree. I will say, for me personally, I've struggled, you know, with the balance, if you will, implementing some certain tactics that have worked well, some that have not worked well. And I did enjoy hearing the perspective of, and it's very elementary, but the concept of, yes, I live a blended lifestyle, and it's intentional. Mm-hmm. And that kind of personally for me struck a chord, and I think it's because I can relate to her work environment as she describes it.
For me her whole, if I understand her correctly, her thesis is just a miss, because I think if you're trying this kind of blend, I really feel like you're basically saying, hey, I'm going to take a best of both worlds cake and ice cream, one foot in each side. That's what I really feel like. I feel like her argument is, you know, it's just not sustainable. It sounds good. It sounds very, you know, logical, or you could, you know, like, hey, you don't have work colleagues or friends and all that. I just have friends. And see, I'm going to call her out on that too, Josh, because in just the last several years, I have found it very helpful to distinguish between – this is a friend, this is an associate, this is a colleague, this is someone I'm trying to sell to. I mean, there's if you can distinguish between all those relationships, you don't, you know, as George says, worlds don't collide as much, and you're going to be so much easier, I guess, to keep, I mean, things in check, and it's not going to bleed in. So I didn't even like how she's – she immediately starts off saying, you know, hey, I don't have work friends or personal friends. I just have all friends. And I'm just like, you know, that's BS. You have colleagues. You have associates. You have – you know, there's no – the whole idea of like saying so-and-so is a true friend to me is so bunk, dude, because you're either a friend or you're not. You know, it's like –
all right.
Anyway.
I agree with you. I think it's just personal situations. I kind of related to her in a little way. I mean, just given my work environment, I'm very fortunate that I do work with half the people I work with. I was personal friends with prior to us going into this venture, right? And then the other half, I was like, yeah, I could see myself hanging out with them after work, you know. So while I'm with you, I do distinguish and trying to draw some lines. I'm a little bit in her favor on that regard, just because of my personal situation. So I can kind of relate to that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I guess.
So this is a semi. Is this a semi hit for you?
It's a semi hit for me, just given personal, you know, situation and things like that. But I guess I don't know. To me, it kind of brings up an interesting point. I mean, for the listeners who don't know, Blake is the Timothy Ferris of offline balance.
I don't know about that.
He's got it. He's nailed it. He's been preaching it for
years. I haven't nailed it.
I mean, compared to most of us, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, it's something I've struggled with, and you're obviously doing a lot better. But it made me think about, well, there's probably more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is one of the best things in the world, by the way. And you could say that, yes, I'm going to draw a hard deadline at 6 p.m., no emails, no phone calls, or whatever. But it kind of works both ways. And I think for some people, given the nature of what they do, you know, maybe a blended lifestyle is possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. They're really, you know, I certainly have found something that I feel like I got the best relationship I've ever had, you know, with technology, with, you know, mm-hmm. kind of my hobbies and personal life and work. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, to be involved, to work for myself and work from home and, you know,
right.
all the advantages that come with that. And I do appreciate that, you know, for me, it's, I guess it can be a struggle, but it's also, you know, it can be more of a struggle, I guess I could say, if my office is in my home. Do you know, that
right.
may be more of a struggle than someone who goes off to, you know, a workspace or a cubicle.
Right.
You know,
right.
Do people still have cubicles? I don't know, Josh. I haven't been in a corporate headquarters in a long time.
Like, they're growing. They're everywhere.
Okay. So, yeah, you're right, though. That's well said. And that's as I'm working, you know, as I'm working through my ideas. And the whole point of for any listeners that aren't aware of this podcast and, you know, my upcoming book and kind of my interest in terms of on my blog is all centered around this. Hey, I have been on that crappy side for 4 years. I was a BlackBerry father before I became an iPhone father. It was gross, dude. The first thing I did was email in the morning. That's the last thing I did. It was just.
Right.
And so my whole story and what I'm kind of this whole offline balance movement I'm hoping to create is basically that, look, I have been on both sides of the tracks, and I can tell you from experience that my last 3 to 4 years, I guess it's been now, was way better than the previous previous 4 years, where there was just no, you know, there was no meaning or kind of structure or
right.
you know, at all to my life. And so, you know, that's the whole point. But you're right. There are more ways to skin a cat. And as I'm kind of hoping to try to create this movement, or at least be a participant in this movement of offline balance, is finding out that, you know, there really are a lot of different ways. There's no one size fits all. But again, back to her point, you know, you do have to have some discipline and boundaries. And
sure.
Those are the two big things I have found in trying to create offline balance. Whatever you decide those are, you have to have that kind of discipline and boundaries that you set for yourself, and you have to keep it. And you can either do that by, you know, hey, these boundaries and guidelines really help, you know, this guy or this lady. Maybe that, you know, that meshes well with my, you know, lifestyle and
yeah.
culture and all that stuff. And adjust, you know, adjust as needed.
Add salt for seasoning.
Yeah, salt to taste, Josh.
Yeah,
salt
exactly.
and pepper to taste is what I'm trying
exactly,
to say.
Yeah. So. That, yeah, so that was kind of my big walk away with it, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, moving on. Josh, do you want to ask me how the book's going, by the way?
Blake, I'm glad you asked, because I was going to ask. What exactly is the status of the book?
Josh, there's no update on the book right now. And there's a new coin I've termed in addition to Casual Friday. It's called Writer's Block. Have you heard of this?
Time out. Without even knowing the definition of that, I feel like I know what it means already.
Well,
that's good.
Well, Writer's Block, Josh, in case you're unaware, is the word that a writer uses when really he just doesn't have the confidence or
I see. Oh,
the confidence
or
or he doesn't know where to take the story. So that's the situation I find myself in. And there's probably been a couple months here since I've made some legitimate progress on the book. I will say, and I'll tease the audience too, that the first 3-4 chapters are, I'm really excited for the world to read them. I just don't know where to take the world in chapter 5, 6, and 7. I even know like my concluding chapters, but it's just I'm having a hard time with act 2, if you will.
The second act is really hanging you up.
It really is. So it's I don't know. And Josh, I've told this before. For any listeners out there, Josh and I, we go way back. We met like earlier this year. A long history.
A lifetime ago. This was early June.
No, we childhood friends, Josh and I. But with in terms of what I've told you before, Josh, that It's I've written, geez, I don't know. I mean, since I started writing in 2005, I've written thousands and thousands and thousands of articles, right, blog posts, really long feature stories, and so I've written the equivalent of several books. But you sit me down, and you're like, Blake, you know, don't do, you know, like a 500 to 800 to 2,000 word story, which you can knock out in a day or an afternoon. You know, we want you to write a whole book and kind of keep the interest for the duration of the book. That's just, I don't know. It's a new challenge for me. So
yeah, well, I've told you before, stick with it. I've read a little bit of it, and I think it's really, really great. And I think you're onto a topic that is, you know, everybody needs to read. And I think you're ahead of the curve in terms of overcoming some of the obstacles in it. So just just suck it up and finish it, buddy.
Be a man. Yeah, I know. And there, another reason I'm excited about this podcast, Josh, is it really did get the juices flowing in terms of starting to think more specifically and directly about these issues and topics, and it really has kind of excited me and inspired me as to how I should, you know, put things XYZ into the book. And I'm excited to make some more progress. So stay tuned. It'll come out sometime in the next several years. Perhaps. I don't know. No, hopefully before then, but I'm confident it will. So, all right, Josh. Moving on, we got one of my favorite segments of the show. The old mailbag.
And, oh, I love the mailbag.
Oh yeah, and in previous podcasts, I've been a contributor to. This is always one of the funnest, crowdsourced. Is that the hot word right now?
It's one of them. I will say it is a crowd favorite. Okay. Now, one thing I do have a question: is this electronic mail?
This is courier pigeon.
Ah,
there was, yeah.
Gotcha.
Stamped. Yeah, so this is via, I don't know how you say that. I say via usually, but via email. You know, I wrote a recent article, a recent column, Josh, on the old I'll name drop it, BlakeSnow.com, the all new BlakeSnow.com.
Ding, ding, ding.
And it was syndicated on the local NBC affiliate, station here. And I got a lot of comments, you know, on that, obviously, that article. And basically the article was, my phone settings are better than yours. You know, it was a very provocative, if you will, headline. Mm-hmm. And basically one of the readers that came, there was a handful of them that basically said collectively, hey, my phone settings are awesome. Your article is ridiculous. How can you use your phone unless you allow alerts anyway? You know, kind of a crabby, grouchy, you know,
bah, humbug.
So, I take it because obviously, if you read that headline, it's kind of the contrary to what we just talked about. There's more than one ways to skin a cat. And Josh, I've found as a writer that one of the best ways to be read is to, you know, kind of trick people with your headlines a little.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Throw a little chum in the shark water.
So basically, you know, I basically said, no, there's no one way to skin a cat. There's my way or the highway, but not exactly. And so obviously, you know, that was a big question, is how can you use your phone unless you allow alerts? Josh, I'm curious, what is your alert stat? How do you set your alerts? I mean, I'm talking about texting, voicemails, calls, tweets, all that good stuff.
I guess I would categorize myself as a default setting kind of guy for the most part. I mean, you email me.
There's no filter. Everything.
I'm wide open to the world. You want me? Come and get me.
Candy Crush has an update. Josh is getting an audible invisible. Delete. Like, priority
I
one.
I have enough ding tones and ring tones to alert me. No, yeah, I really am. There's a couple micro settings that I've turned off, but for the most part, I kind of go default on everything until I realize that it is an annoyance, and then I'll turn something off.
Yeah, yeah, like with me, I mean, and what I said in the article, one thing that's really helped me is I only allow in terms of audible alerts, and that's a big thing with your phone. Those are like more, I guess, more invasive, if you will, than the visual alerts. Because if you got your phone in your pocket or in your purse or whatever, you're always not going to be able to spot the visual alert, you know, the phone lighting up and the little pop-up box telling you you've got a new message. So I think audible alerts are certainly the highest priority. And the only audible alerts I allow through on my iPhone are voice calls. So, you know, if you email me or you text me or You ain't getting nothing, you know, unless you'll probably get a response maybe once every couple hours or maybe longer, depending on what I'm doing. Usually, you know.
Even text messages, huh? You even got those silent?
Josh, yeah, I got it silent. And in the column, too, as you probably saw, like, you can see the alert settings on my iPhone. Everything's turned off except voice call. And I've been doing that for, like, 4 years, and it's just, I don't know, it's just awesome. Like, it's just great. Now, obviously, I've kind of cheated in that because, like, if I'm in a good discussion via text, I'll keep my phone right, I guess, kind of underneath me if I'm at my desk or near me, so when it does light up, I can see it. But
right.
The reason I do that is if I'm out and about or with the kids or fam or wife or friends or whatever, wherever I'm at, I just don't want to be distracted. I kind of want to – it really helps me live in the moment, per se. So that's why I do that. And then with, like, my apps, like, no one gets through on my apps. There's, like, no apps that get any access to.
Are you kidding me? Developers have been trying to crack that code for you for years. They're not getting
in. I'm shutting them down, Josh. I'm shutting – you ain't getting in. Yeah, so, like, yeah, there's a very small VIP list for me with alerts. And I will say this. I did also – I do get an audible alert with text when it comes from the WIF. She's the only one that gets through, and
right.
So
as it should,
keeps me out of trouble.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's something like that. Yeah. So anyway, that you know, I guess I didn't really answer the mailbag. I did in a roundabout way, but that's how I use my phone, while not allowing or while allowing very few alerts. And I'm telling you, it's if you haven't tried it, you got to give it a try. It may open up your world as it did mine. So
I think, Blake, I think as you and I have talked about these topics so much and I've heard you discuss them, I just took a step back and I'm thinking about that particular point. And I feel like some listeners, that concept is going to be so foreign to them initially. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the idea of my phone only rings, and that's all it does. There's no more.
That's
audible.
Not a smartphone. That's a flip phone. You know, that's a Nokia phone.
You guys want to talk about features? I'll tell you features. Mine rings.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and that's a good perspective because I think that's what this question speaks to is like,
yeah.
Who are you, old man, or I don't know, you know? Like,
I think it's going to be a foreign concept, but you know, it's something that you may have to educate the audience on a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think that's all I can do. That's what I try to do in my columns and my writings and the book is look, just try it. If you absolutely hate it, you can go back. You're not missing out on anything, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, Josh, though, too, and this is one thing I've tried to incorporate in kind of the book and kind of my whole message and story and this movement, if you will, is that I think when you're kind of you're an aspiring professional. I can speak more to that side. So, and if you're an aspiring professional, I get it. Like, you're like, I can't do that. How am I going to get ahead in the office? How's the boss going to know? You know, I get that whole idea of I have to be connected all the time because that's what's going to give me the leg up. That's what lets me keep up with the Joneses. And I'm here to tell you, at least Blake Snow, Josh, I have made more money working less. You know, I have made more money turning off my alerts. My career has advanced further. And I'm sure there's other factors going into it, but you can't say, hey, if you switch to that kind of style, you're only going to hurt yourself. Whereas I'm saying that's not true for me. Like, you know, I'm still here trucking it, having, you know, I'm a thousandaire, Josh. I'm a legitimate thousandaire here.
Many times over.
So when someone comes to me with that fear, and that's a valid fear for an aspiring professional,
yeah.
I just say, you know, that's BS. Like, that's just hasn't been my version. I have found more success breaking away and recharging my mental work battery, if you will, that I'm more inspired when I come back to work for taking nights and weekends off than I was when I worked at all waking hours of the day. And so I can point to so many like pros of that, like love life's better, family life's better, I'm more of a practicing father now than an absent father. Right, I mean, right. I've got more money in my coffers than I did before. So there really are just few downsides. And in fact, I've found that there's this level of respect that I do get from colleagues or peers or, you know, coworkers, people that I work for, clients, that it's just like, yeah, I don't work on weekends unless it's an emergency. So, yeah. You know, is this an emergency? Are there thousands of dollars being lost here? If the reply was no, stay out of my inbox. I'm not going to check it. You know, that's
see you Monday.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, all I can do is just ask someone, you know, if you're happy with what, you know, your relationship with your phone or work is, I won't even try to sell you, because, you know, you're not, you know, that's good if you're happy. But if I were to ask you, hey, how's that working out for you? And you're like, it kind of sucks. Then I would just encourage you to, like, try. Sample my product, Josh. Buy my product. Just try it.
First one's free.
That was a hard sell. Josh, we've reached the end of the inaugural offline podcast. And I just wanted to do a quick teaser for next week. Actually, Josh, I'll let you do that. One of the talking points for next week will be
why you should consider becoming a reformed Luddite.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of, you know, a discussion that I think hits on what we were just discussing. That
yeah,
this is
there's a lot of meat to that one.
There is. So we'll hit on that next show. For all the listeners, thanks for listening. We appreciate you spending your afternoon, evening, whatever it was you listened to this podcast. For more information, please visit offlinebalance.com. Register for the newsletter and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. You can also send us an email at mailbag@offlinebalance.com, and we hope maybe this will help, you know, get some more mailbag, Josh. If the old listeners,
I love the mailbag.
You use this email. So anyway, for Josh, I'm Blake. Until next time, listeners, enjoy your life. We'll see you next time on the Offline Podcast.
While others zag,
I coined
you're
that one.
You're full of coin terms today. You could keep a list or something.
That's what they call passive income. Another term I coined by
you're going to be a thousandaire.